Whenever you live in Port Stewart, it's very hard not to be part of that coffee shop culture that has become so popular in society today. It seems like, you know, every other shop is a coffee shop. Walk up and down the promenade any day of the week and you'll find groups of people meeting for coffee and for a chat. And it's not just, you know, confined to one demographic either. The ladies in Port Stewart meet on a Monday and they go in and heaven only knows what they talk about in Coffee Hut. You have cycling clubs stopping off for some refreshments as they pedal their way around the coast. Holidaymakers, families, business meetings, all of it seems to be part of this coffee shop culture. And I'll be honest, I used to think that this all had been driven with, do you remember the television program Friends, where they met all the time in Central Perk? They seemed to spend every waking hour in there, that coffee shop that was so close to their apartments. But apparently, I couldn't be more wrong, because it seems that there is evidence of coffee shops first appearing, not in Port Stewart, but in Mecca in the 12th century. And in Constantinople, there's evidence of a coffee shop called Kiva Han opening in 1475. And interestingly, the first ever coffee shops were in Damascus in the 4th century. Now, you may well be wondering, what on earth is he rambling on about coffee shops for? But what has this got to do with the book of Acts? Well, after telling us about Peter's sermon in Acts 2, Luke gives us an insight into what life was like for this very early church. He paints a picture of togetherness and unity as the church shared property and resources, going as far as to sell land and houses to make sure that nobody was in need. It was a church that met together regularly. It wasn't just regularly, actually, but it was constantly. They read scripture together. They talked about scripture together. They ate together. And there's no doubt that God performed incredible signs and wonders through them as well. But the outcome of this lifestyle was that the church enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It seems that a central plank of the life of this church was the way in which they met together and ate together. They saw themselves as a family. We're told that every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. And it wasn't just that they were going to the temple to do things, to run the youth program or to sort out the Bible class. They were simply going there to be with God's people, to worship and to pray together. It was the culture of the day. It was the Jewish way of doing things. Remember Daniel praying three times a day? But it was also a very social activity, an opportunity to meet with fellow believers, brothers and sisters, an opportunity to talk about faith and what God was doing among their community and in their lives. We see this more clearly in how this coming together wasn't restricted to the temple buildings. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This is the coffee shop culture that I started talking about. We live in an increasingly isolated world. When we walk down the street now, nearly everybody has those earbuds in their ears listening to music or to podcasts. There's even a return now to those big headphones, you know, the ones that you used to think looked ridiculous, but now there's a return to them because they're noise cancelling, and so they actually block out everything. You can't hear the outside world, you only hear what is coming through those. Screens in every room of our houses, in every pocket. TV no longer comes through a cable, but wirelessly to almost any device, which means that instead of everybody sitting down together to watch, you know, whatever the program is that you used to watch on a Saturday night, you sat and watched it as a family. Noel's Funhouse, do you remember that with Mr. Blobby? Everybody sat round and watched that together. Now we disappear off into our own space with our own devices, watching what we want, when we want, where we want. The advent of team and Zoom meetings has turned our dining room into private offices where we no longer can even catch up with people over a cup of tea or a chat at the water fountain. The most bizarre example of all, the silent disco. A room full of youngsters, isolated through headphones, dancing to music only they can hear. Now, I don't like discos, okay? But this seems even worse than an ordinary disco. Surely the fun of going to somewhere like that was the crack and the banter. And this culture has found its way into our church. Post-COVID, many churches, we don't have people hanging about for a cup of tea and fellowship after the service the way that we used to. We've become so busy and preoccupied with our own individualism that we are fast losing that sense of family and togetherness. We're losing the art of conversation. As we sit in silence in our own world, our thumbs going like a mad thing over a screen. We don't discuss faith and life in any great detail. If we come to church, we're in our own world. And many of us have retreated to the online service, a place of solitude. And this individualism continues as part of how we do church now, this individualism, because organizations fracture away from the central body into separate and unique entities. They have their own cupboards, their own goods. I'm guessing there's probably because most churches are the same, you probably have a youth club cupboard, a GB cupboard, a bowling club cupboard, you know, kitchens. You walk into church kitchens and you see labels on all of these cupboards. This is mine. Don't go in there. Church fractures. Clubs and societies end up having very little interaction with one another. And that's before we even begin to think of the things that we own as individuals and how we segregate our lives. We have a funeral today in Port Stewart, and I was sitting with the family yesterday, and they were talking about how when they were kids, you know, there were no fences or hedges in the front garden, and so you just ran across everybody's front garden, and you'd somebody in the middle who normally gave off about it all, but they became one big football pitch or one big tennis court. You know, now we put walls up, we put fences, we put hedges around it. We isolate ourselves. And yet we read, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. Something has gone wrong in how we do church and how we do life. We've reduced church to a list of activities. We've forgotten that church is a collection of people who meet as friends in order to worship and to serve the risen Lord Jesus, who witnessed to the world of this incredible resurrection from the dead. Everybody in Port Stewart, in the church, and I'm guessing most of you here in Ballywillan will know how committed I am to things like GB and Youth Club and Youth Fellowship and to the young people. And yet I want to say that church isn't about any of those things. Church is about you and me. It's about how we meet together, both in this building. It's today, Sunday morning, is incredibly important. It's a special time when we come together. But church is also about how we meet outside of this building. It's about our relationships with one another, how we love each other, how we treat one another. When was the last time we enjoyed a meal together as a whole church family? When was the last time that we had friends from church or maybe new people who've come into the church round for lunch? One of the really important things about Friday night isn't just the prayer of installation that shall happen here. That is important. But actually the sandwiches that I hope we have to cut in half because so many people are here afterwards, that's hugely important. Because that's where we will meet together and talk together and mix together. But what do we do when we're meeting like this? Well, the church in Acts, they prayed together and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They studied the scriptures together. They talked about faith together. They witnessed to this incredible resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Their meeting and their eating was an opportunity to worship. It wasn't another activity. It wasn't another responsibility. It wasn't another chore. It was a social gathering where people enjoyed one another's company while they worshiped God. It was this way in which they worshiped together that kept them together. Folks, if we want to be people who see our numbers being added to daily, then we need to present something different to the world. Something that's better than the individualism and the isolationism that they already know and are so dissatisfied with. We need to present the unity in Christ and with Christ that we talk so readily about in church. And that doesn't come just from being here and listening to sermons. Thank you for being here. Thank you for at least looking as though you're listening. That's hugely encouraging. Thank you for that. It won't even come through the committed service of a GB or a bowling club or whatever else. All those things are good things. But it will come when we are united in worship as the church in Acts was. It will come that whenever the people see us meeting in Coffee Hut or wherever it is we meet, that actually we do that differently. When they see how we spend time together, how we share, how we worship, not just as a religious activity, but as a central plank of the social bonds that keep us together. In Acts, we don't see a church meeting just for an hour a week. We see a church living together as a community of God's people. And it was good. It was so good that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. On Friday night, you will welcome a new minister into your church. As part of that service, I'm supposed to give a charge to the congregation and to the minister. Well, I'm actually giving you the charge of the congregation today. I'm going to talk to Gordy on Friday night. And so this is for you today. If you want to see your church grow, if you want to see people being added to your number daily, it won't be because of what your minister is doing here on a Sunday. It'll be because of how you do life together. How you worship together. How you have everything in common with one another. And so my charge is be united. United in purpose, united in your goals, in your resources, and in your worship. You should be commended for the way that you've stuck together through a long 18-month vacancy. You should be commended for that. Keep at that. Meet together, pray together, study God's word together. But understand that that is about so much more than what happens in this building. Do it together in your homes, in the coffee shops, and in the places that you meet. It's about being a community together inside and outside of the building. It's about how we have everything that we have in common with one another. If this is the church we want, if we want to be the church that God has called us to be, because this is the church that God wants us to be, that means setting aside our individualism and becoming a community, a family of God's people. And that will mean doing what families do, living together. And doing that as we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This is what it is to be the church of the Acts of the Apostles. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we thank you for the way in which you've called us to live together. Thank you that the one thing that unites us, that holds us in commonality, is Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And so thank you that in Jesus we are one. And so, Lord, this morning we pray for ourselves. I pray for the congregation of Ballywillan. Lord, bless this group of people and bind them together. Unite them in Jesus. Unite them in purpose, in worship, and in their hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Make them fruitful in the gospel, we pray. We pray for Gordy and Karen as they finish up their ministry in Donegal today. We pray for a good end. An end that glorifies your name. We pray for the congregations there that just as you have been with us through this vacancy, so you would be with them in the vacancy that is about to begin. And we know, Lord, that in all likelihood it will be a long vacancy. It will be harder to fill. There will be more in the way of change. And so grant them a peace that although the familiar and the secure is changing, you and your presence with them is not changing. As Gordy and Karen move on Tuesday, as Friday looms and a new chapter begins, anoint them with your spirit. Equip them for all that lies ahead and bless the work of their hands. Bless the fellowship in this place. and may many come to you, not just because of a new minister, but because of your people. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.